But schools don't exist so we can have jobs. They exist to be awesome for kids. No kid ever complained that their teacher messed up a lesson. But if you try something new, they'll brag about you at recess. You're in charge of your learning, but sometimes it just takes that other person to like continue the push and continue the prod. Somebody else can do it. You can do it. There is no frontier anymore. Everything that you're trying to do has been done by somebody else. They've just kind of figured out a way. We have to create opportunities for kids to show what they really have inside of them, because you're going to uncover some really awesome things.
Welcome to the Rethinking Learning podcast series. I'm Barbara Bray, where I'll be having conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents all about their purpose and passion for learning. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rethinking Learning podcast series, Conversations on Learning. This is Barbara Bray. Today, I'm really lucky to have Adam Welcome here. Adam, I've known Adam for some time. We actually did some work together, and I was going to share some information about him, but I've learned so much new that I'd rather have Adam tell you about himself. Adam, thank you for being here.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much. And I think back to when we did first meet, it was 8 years ago, and I can't remember who the catalyst was. Was it Patsy Templeton that hooked us up together?
I think it may have been.
Yeah. I know she's a dear friend to both of ours. Well, my name's Adam Welcome, former elementary school teacher. Met Barbara when I was an assistant principal of a very large elementary school. We had 1,200 students, K-5. We did a lot of work out there. Former elementary school principal, and now I'm a director of innovation and technology in Mount Diablo School District. And I'm also an author of the book Kids Deserve It. I have a beautiful wife, 2 children. I'm a big runner. This year I'm running 13 marathons and also a 24-hour race on New Year's Eve. My goal is to raise $100,000 for students that are homeless in our schools through a GoFundMe, and there'll be more about that coming out in December. And I'm also eating vegan this year, which is really really fun. Having a great experience with that, and I'm also writing a book about this year, Run Like a Pirate, which will be coming out next May. So people always say, Adam, are you going to slow down? I was like, you know what? We have one life, and every day we just got to get after it. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay. I just learned something new about you. Okay. I learned several things new. I know about your book, which is Kids Deserve It. We're going to talk about that. I didn't know you were running that many marathons. And this other one you're doing, 24 hours?
Yeah. So I've done, up until 2017, I ran, I think, 7 marathons in my life. I actually was not a runner. I met my wife at a half marathon. A friend of mine dragged me along begrudgingly. And I met my wife at the race, actually, at a half marathon over in Marin. And we got married 100 days later. So she kind of dragged me into running. I was a cyclist. And I ran a marathon in December in Sacramento, and I felt really good. It was like one of my best marathons ever. And I just knew there was more. And I wanted to really push my body, to push my mind, to see what else I had inside of me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to run 1 marathon a month. So I started the marathons, and in March, I realized that my December marathon would be number 19, which that didn't sit well with me because I wanted to hit 20 this year. So my December marathon is in Sacramento. It's California International Marathon, and it goes from Lake Folsom to the Capitol. It ends right at the steps of the Capitol, and I've done that one about 5 times. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the course backwards. In the middle of the night at 1 a.m. and then run the real race. So that'll be a back-to-back marathon, a double. So that'll be 20. And New Year's Eve at Chrissy Field, there's a 24-hour race, 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. And you just run for 24 hours. And my goal is to run 100 miles, and I want to raise $100,000 for homeless students. Todd and I, with Kids Deserve It, we donate money. We've donated over $25,000 over the last year and a half to Donors Choose projects. We sell t-shirts. So the whole philanthropic part of me is very alive and well, and I wanted to bring my running into that. Because my marathons are for me, but I want to make the 24-hour race for all those students that don't have a home but still come to our schools every day. And I just can't imagine what that is like to go through. So the goal is to donate that money to organizations throughout the country. So
I'm going to cry. That is so amazing.
I'll be crying at 3 a.m. 90 miles in. No, you know what? Like, I want to, like I said, I want to feel that suffering and that pain. And, you know, I see students in our schools, and I know I talk to principals that they live in their car or they're living in a hotel. And what is it like? So I can put up with some pain for a whole day. Wow. I'm not going to worry about that. Because what I'm going to go through is nothing compared to what they're going through, you know, day in, day out. So,
wow. Yeah. I've worked with some schools in Southern California and Riverside, and they said the main thing that the problem is homelessness. And mm-hmm. So I definitely want
There's 2.1 million homeless students across our country that are in our K-12 public schools right now. So,
oh, that's so sad. And so anything I can do to help promote what you're doing, I'm going to do that because I had no idea. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Barbara.
Well, darn, I want to talk more about that, but maybe we'll come back to it. But sure. I did want to ask, because you wrote this, Kids Deserve It. That's the name of your book. Mm-hmm. And you wrote it with Todd Nasloney. Did I say his name right?
Todd Nasloney.
Yeah, and I met Todd, and he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But how did you two meet?
Twitter. People always ask, how do you meet? I mean, how do you meet anybody? He's like, nowadays it's Twitter. So yeah. Todd, we were connected on social media, and he used to have a podcast called Edu All Stars. And he had me on his show a number of years ago. And then two summers ago, we were at the National Principals Conference in Long Beach. And we sat together at the keynote, just kind of serendipitously. Like, it wasn't like we hadn't like, oh, I'll hook up. We'll hook up together. We just kind of really connected. And we both do consulting work for Remind. It's the text messaging app. Just, we both know the CEO well and just have helped with product over the years. And we were at dinner with them one night down in Long Beach. And I was on a rant about something. I tend to rant when it comes to education. And I said something. I said, schools don't exist so we can have jobs. They exist to be awesome for kids. And he tweeted that out. And I said, because our kids deserve it. And the tweet just like blew up. And we were like, oh man, we have something here. So we met the next morning at 7 a.m. and wrote a blog post together about relationships. And we just kind of looked at each other at the conference and we're like, we got to keep going with this. And we bought the URL and started a Twitter and an Instagram. And we just started blogging. We wrote like, I don't know, 24 blog posts like in a month. And it just took off. Like, I remember when our goal was to have 1,000 followers on Twitter, and now we have like 25,000. And that was just like a year and a half ago. It wasn't that long ago, which is insane. And then we just kind of, Dave Burgess approached us, and we kind of approached him, and it was kind of like one of those little things. And we're like, yeah, let's write a book. And we wrote the book like in 3 months, just because, you know, it was our manifesto. If you've seen the movie Jerry Maguire, he writes that manifesto in the middle of the night because it just pours out of him. And it's the same way. So it's really what we've been doing our whole careers. And it's more than just a book, though. We have a podcast, too. We have a Twitter chat. We sell Kids Deserve It t-shirts that we donate all that money to Donors Choose projects. It's much more of like an ecosystem community. It's bigger than us. Which we wanted. We didn't want to like control the whole ecosystem of Kids Deserve It. But we have people in South Africa and India, and our book just got translated into Korean, actually. It's being sold in South Korea, which is really cool. So it really has become like a global movement, which is just, it's just so fun to see. Like, I've been in the airport before and seen a Kids Deserve It shirt, and I go over, I'm like, hey, you know, and like, they don't know that it's, then they realize it's me, and then we have a conversation and take a selfie, and it's just so fun. So,
I mean, when I saw this and I first time I read it, I got it on my Kindle first, and then I thought, I got to get the book. Then I started sharing your book out and giving it to principals and other schools. What's really nice, it's all about the kids and the way you wrote it. It's just, you know, that, in fact, I want to start with the first chapter. You said, go big, be creative. I love the idea of trying something new. And, you know, that idea of pushing and saying something new, maybe you can kind of explain a little bit about what you meant in that chapter, because you start off big.
Yeah. You know, so many people are just, my pinned tweet right now is no kid ever complained that their teacher messed up a lesson. But if you try something new, they'll brag about you at recess. And that just kind of came to me one night. And it's just so true. you know, teachers need to get over themselves. We need to get over ourselves as educators. Yeah. You know, the kids need us more than ever. They just need us in different ways. And I don't think that kids are, I was talking to a group yesterday, are kids even like 100% listening? Kids are like so many things and multitasking, like give them a little bit and then just let them go. Like show them what's possible. I mean, going big is running 13 marathons in 1 year, right? And like you believe you can, like you're going to do it. And it's the same in the classroom. You know, I mean, that's like just doing genius hour at your school. I got to my school when I was a principal, we had 30 iPads. And in a year and a half, we were 1-to-1, 550 students. Right? Like, I'm going big. We're going to do it. How'd you pay for it? What do you mean, how'd you pay for it? You have money. It's all how you spend your money, right? You need to reallocate your budget. It's listening to the students. You know, my daughter, I have a 6- and a 4-year-old. My daughter is going to go into first grade next year. And about 2 weeks ago, she was in the house and she said, "Hey, Dad." And then, "Oh, never mind." I said, "Okay." And then she walks by me a minute later with a piece of paper and a pencil. And she walks up to our Alexa, our Amazon Alexa. "Alexa, how do you spell Christmas?" She was using the Alexa as a dictionary, and that just blew my mind. She doesn't need me to spell the word. We don't have a dictionary in our house. It's 2017. We have an Alexa. Like, she was hacking the Alexa to tell her how to spell a word, right? So to me, like, we're putting Alexas in our classroom. I mean, voice search is everywhere. I mean, Siri is not a new functionality. And with Alexa, and Apple has a new one coming out, Mattel has a little personal assistant for kids that can go in kids' rooms. I mean, Ford and GM are incorporating all of this technology into their cars in the future. So just letting kids hack that for themselves, that's going big. Not saying no, saying, "I don't know, but let's figure out a way," right? Like, I wrote a blog post a couple months ago, "I'm so tired of no." We need way more yes. And just by saying yes, that's going big and that's being creative. Because I don't know everything. Nobody does. It's harnessing the power in the room.
I love this idea about Alexa. Mm-hmm. I don't have one. I think I'm just going to have to go get one tomorrow or today. You
know? Honestly, like, we have some in the back of our classrooms. Alexa this, Alexa that. I mean, my kids were hacking it on our phones. Went to Seattle. They're like, "Alexa, what's the weather in Seattle?" My 4-year-old, right? I'm like, and I didn't show him how to use it. "Alexa, tell us a joke." I'm like, "How did you figure that out?" "Well, we had a joke book, so we figured Alexa could tell us jokes." And if they're in schools, they're on the filter. They're clean, because not everything that's coming through Alexa could be clean if you're at home, if you don't have a filter. But if Ford and GM are incorporating this into their cars, and Mattel, the toy company, is making one,
yeah,
like, look outside of education and bring those ideas in, because that's relevancy. Because that is a job right there. And you don't need a college degree, Barbara, because there's the people that are programming the Alexa. There's the people that are building them. There's the people that are doing the research. There's the people that are marketing them. How many job categories right there are, and then also the car companies. I mean, the technology is everywhere. I mean, we've been voice texting for years, Bluetooth in your phone. I mean, Alexa, can you imagine, like, you're driving down the street, driving to the airport. "Alexa, what's the weather? Or what's this? You know, give me my, I'm actually going to start working on a flash briefing." Because if you go, "Alexa, give me the flash briefing for Kids Deserve It," it could be my voice or Todd's voice with like a little motivational briefing in the morning to anybody in the world, right? So you could be a teacher and you're out for the day, or you're not. You just drop a flash briefing. The kids go, "Give me a flash briefing for Mrs. Bray. Hey, kids, have a great day, blah, 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 blah," whatever it is. And they're $139. I mean, we spend more money on Chromebooks and iPads. They're $139. So.
Oh my gosh. And someone said that if you do podcast shows, you can actually put those on Alexa so people can call them up.
100%. Yep.
Have you done yours that way?
We have not. No, we put all of ours on iTunes. Todd and I want to do a lot more. The problem is, like, Kids Deserve It is like our side hustle. You know, we have jobs and families and stuff. So people are like, you should just do more. We're like, we would love to. We just can't. So, but like, I'm not hoarding all the ideas. You know, it's like sharing them here so people can take it and, you know, use it in their life, in their world.
Wow. Well, you got me going now. I got to think about this. So
that's good.
I love it. I'm going to have to go in some of your classes just to see. Now, you know, in another chapter, you mentioned edupressure. Can you explain why people need this?
Yeah, totally. I've been saying that for so long, and people are like, "I love edupressure." Because how many times, "Oh, hey, sign up for Twitter or get on Voxer." Okay. And how I roll is 2 minutes later, "Okay, Barbara, are you on yet? Like, do it right now. Do it right now." or yeah. I'll track people down. I'll be at a conference and I'll track them down a week later and I'll call their school. It's a principal. Hey, I haven't got a Voxer message from you. What's going on? And people at first may be taken back. I hope that my personality is such that I'm just trying to push you and give you some pressure to broaden your PLN. But I can't tell you how many people months, years afterwards were like, you know, hey, thank you for pushing me and poking and prodding, because you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And if you don't put anything into it, you're going to get nothing out. But if I can help push and prod and apply some pressure, you're going to blow your mind, right? Because you're in charge of your learning, but sometimes it just takes that other person to like continue the push and continue the prod. Because I've drinking the Kool-Aid. I've been drinking it for years and I know how amazing it is. I mean, I'm talking to you now on this medium because of social media. And I mean, I've seen you once since we first met 8 years ago, Barbara, right? I can't remember what, I think we were at Q in Palm Springs, right? Is where I saw you last.
Yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. But we can still have a conversation. So edupressure is real and it's needed. It's needed for everybody, even for the person. I mean, people apply pressure to me. Come on, Adam, you can do it. Like, you're right. I can. No excuses. So that's where that comes from.
Well, it's really great because I know principals want to do this, but they don't understand that that little bit of nudging is what teachers need. And
I don't have time. Oh, I'm busy. I'm putting out fires. No, you're not. Yeah. Let's talk about it, right? Like, you know, you got to reorganize your day. You got to flip your day. As a principal, I spent less than an hour in my office from bell to bell, right? Mm-hmm. I just told myself I was going to run my school from my phone. I was going to be mobile. And if you think you can't do that, then you have to do it. And then you need to find ways throughout the day to make your office in your pocket with your phone, right? You just need to kind of flip it and like reverse engineer it. Because there is a way. I mean, other people have done it. I've done it. I can't tell you how many people I know that have done it. So if somebody else can do it, you can do it. There is no frontier anymore. Everything that you're trying to do has been done by somebody else. They've just kind of figured out a way. So stop making excuses and make it happen.
I know a few principals that believe that, but they just don't know how to do that. So that idea, you know, that's another, just bring your book along and I'll give it to them. Right?
Thanks.
Okay. So on chapter 4, you talk about listening and empathy. You know, why is it important for educators to show kids they care? I mean, I know that's a kind of silly question because we know they should, right?
Sure. Yeah. You know, we spend, some kids spend more time at school with their teacher and the school staff than they do with their families, right? If they're being dropped off at childcare and picked up late, or, you know, nannies and au pairs and such. And it all starts with relationships. It goes back to that first blog post that Todd and I wrote together. Relationships matter most. That was the name of the blog post. And it's just true. I can remember when I was a vice principal, my daughter had just been born. She was a few months old. And I was sitting in my office. And across the hall from my office was the nurse's office. And there was a little kid in there crying. I went in there. I said, hey, how you doing? Oh, he was sick or whatever. I said, okay. I go back to my office. And the kid's still crying. And I thought about my daughter, right? And I had that empathy of like, wow. I mean, becoming a parent was the best thing that happened to me to be an educator. And I went back and sat with that child until their parents showed up and they left and they said, you know, thanks, Mr. Welcome. And what does that mean? It meant everything to them. It was like 10 minutes, you know, my emails can wait, you know, whatever else can wait. And kids know, Barbara, they know the fakes. They know if you're not real, they can smell the people that aren't listening and aren't making eye contact and just are there kind of on the surface. So when you really just show kids you care and you sit on the carpet and you play kickball or you go down the slide or whatever it is, I mean, game over, right? Like you have them in your pocket 100%. And they're going to work harder for you. They're going to tell their parents about you. The parents are going to work harder for you. And in turn, your school is going to become a stronger community.
You know, I do something like that with teachers. I give them a little extra. I take them out to lunch. I do a whole bunch of things where I want them to know that somebody cares. We all care because of what you do, but this is the kind of thing they need to do with their kids. And same with principals. And the day-to-day just drives them. It just takes over so much. They don't realize, like you said, flip the class, you know, flip it. Find some ways that you can do that is really good.
Sure.
You also listed practices that'll make better leaders. And you wrote, whatever role you are in school, how can you commit to being a leader worth following? You know, you're saying that everyone can be a leader.
I think everybody is a leader. I was talking to a principal yesterday. I was like, you're working too hard. You have to distribute the leadership and distribute the, you know, when I was a principal, my goal was to play kickball and tweet. You know, I say that tongue in cheek, but I had people that did different things for the school because you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the school, right? Like we're a community. It's that community kind of feel. And the teacher is not just in charge of their own classroom, because you're supporting other people. You're collaborating and you're sharing and you are supporting other students. And that's why you have to share the knowledge, because you can help another teacher with an idea, or I had that student last year, or I had the sibling, you know, and just being a leader worth following, because you never know when you're going to be needed. I've read a lot of military books, Leadership Lessons of the Navy SEALs, and they just have a really amazing leadership structure. Because if something happens to one person, the other person could take over, you know, and they distribute the leadership and they all have a role, which is really, really powerful. I used to love doing fire drills when I wasn't on campus as a principal. And at first my office manager thought I was crazy. I said, well, no, because I'm not always going to be here. I said, and the next time we're going to do one when I'm not here and you're not here, right? Like the two people that kind of run the school, the principal and the office manager. And what happened? Somebody stepped up. I found a new leader, right? It was awesome. And you just never know what kind of hidden nugget of potential you have in people. And it trickles down to the classroom as well, too. If you let go of some control and you have student leaders, the student voice is so important, right? Like I love talking about teachers, but kids are why we're here. You're going to find someone that you didn't know. I had a student who was quiet. We had our talent show and he was the MC. And I said, whoa, where did this kid come from? I hadn't seen him in that light. I grabbed him after the show. I said, you. And like, he was in charge of our school podcast. He was one of my first social media interns. I just didn't know. I didn't see him in that light, you know? So we have to create opportunities for kids to show what they really have inside of them. Because you're going to uncover some really awesome things.
Oh my goodness. I love that, because kids don't get those opportunities very many times. So this is really wonderful. Actually, I was going to ask you some things and you answered all of them. So I'm going to just, I kind of want to kind of talk about your book. It's chock full of ideas. I keep going back to it. Look at all the, you know, I got a lot of post-it notes here. You talk about ideas like the whole school community and the parents, and you know, we don't have time to go through everything in here because maybe we'll have you come back and do some more.
Sure.
Bring you in tatters. And is there any, just one idea that you just want to leave my audience with?
So one of the shortest, I first want to say Todd and I wrote the book that we wanted to read. You know, we've read or tried to read so many education books that you read a chapter and you don't know what you read. So if you haven't read it, it's just an easy, easy book. And if I was still a principal, I would give it to my PTA president, give it to some parents, or let some available in the office. Because when parents know what you're reading and what your mission is going to be, that all kids deserve it, which is really the truth, they're going to be on the same page. You know, one of my favorite chapters is just one of the simplest, is leave it in your car. I think that morning time is such a pivotal time. Everybody has something going on in their life. Everybody, for divorce or money issues, or you know, like you spilled your coffee, and you have a choice in the morning. You can leave all your problems in your car, or you can bring them with you into your classroom. And this goes for any job, but we work with kids, and kids deserve our best every single day. So no matter what you're dealing with, leave it in your car. Go into school, be your best for all the students, your colleagues, your leadership, and then all those problems are going to be back waiting for you, unfortunately, you know, when you get back in your car and go home. Every day our kids deserve it. You don't know what one little comment or kudos is going to do for a kid. It's going to have them help them turn the corner. So I would just leave it with that. You know, it's so simple. It doesn't cost any money. And everybody can do it every day.
That's beautiful. And that's why you call your book Kids Deserve It. Right.
That's right. That's
yeah. Right. Because it's that really hit home with me right away when I first saw it. So I am so really honored that you are here today sharing this and telling your story, even about the marathons. And definitely will help promote your book. And I just thank you so much, Adam, for being here today with me. And I hope that everyone gets to see this. We'll be putting up the post and the podcast with links to Kids Deserve It, so people know about this. So if there's anything else you want to share, you'll share that with me, Adam, okay?
100%. You bet. Thanks for having me, Barbara. It's always great to talk to you.
Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today in Rethinking Learning podcast. It's our Conversations on Learning with Adam. Welcome. Thank you. Bye. Thank you for joining our Conversations on Learning podcast series. You know, if you'd like to learn more, visit barbarabray.net, where you will find a complimentary blog post along with informative links and resources and more projects. I hope you subscribe to the Rethinking Learning podcast and become part of the conversation.